Welcome to Digital Asset News. We take the top stories in cryptocurrencies and digital assets and break it down into bite-sized pieces. Before we get started, let's do a little housekeeping. First of all, this video is for entertainment purposes only. I'm not a financial planner, a financial analyst, or anything that has to do with finances. I'm just a small business owner with a keen interest in digital assets and cryptocurrencies. Second, if you do us a big favor, just do one of the following. If you could like the video, fantastic. If you could comment on it, and it could be anything that you like the video, or you think it sucks, doesn't matter, just comment on the video you're watching. And also subscribe. Now you don't have to do all three of those things, but if you do one of them, that would be great. All right, let's jump into it. The big story today, my man John McAfee went totally backwards on his bet about Bitcoin reaching $1 million in 2020, or at the end of 2020. And this is the big story because this guy was the biggest cheerleader out there for Bitcoin, blockchain, and where things were going. So we're gonna talk about this in depth. And before we get into that story, I just wanna say, first of all, if you're unaware, I'm doing a little swear jar for charity. As you know, on this channel, I sometimes drop an F-bomb here and there because it is for adults, I'm pretty sure. And because of this, and also with the problems that are going on in Australia right now, I have reserved the charity of, for every swear word that I say that you guys catch and put in the comments below, I give one XRP to the Australian charity. And now, if you think about it, one XRP isn't too much. But as time goes on and you see how much I cuss sometimes, you'll realize that this could add up and get expensive very quickly. So last time, on the last video, I was told that I swore 9 times, which is not too bad for me, actually. So I went in there and I donated. I had to figure this out. First of all, I'd never done this before on Twitter. I used an XRP tip bot. I had pre-funded with XRP and I had sent over, I was supposed to send over 9, but I sent over more, to the, Australian Fire Service Department. So, for this video, same thing goes. I'm going to cuss. I can guarantee that. I'm going to say something bad and, just catch it. And let me know in the comments below how many times I said something that I probably shouldn't have. All right, let's get into it. So first off, John McAfee. So the bet was he said he was going to eat his dick if Bitcoin didn't make it to 1 million. And he sat down for numerous interviews and different publications and talked about how, look, if Bitcoin doesn't make it to 1 million, then he started to talk about 2 million, that math didn't apply, or math didn't exist. So apparently math doesn't exist. But he comes on, and this was his tweet. This was this morning, January 5th, 2020. And he says, eat my dick in 12 months, a ruse to onboard new users. And it worked. Bitcoin was first. It's an ancient technology. All know it. Newer blockchains have privacy, smart contracts, distributed apps, and more. Bitcoin is our future? Was the Model T the future of the automobile? So this is interesting. It's a lot to break down right here. First of all, John McAfee did a lot of great things. I mean, business-wise, I mean, he was the creator and owner of McAfee Antivirus. If you were around in the 80s and 90s, you remember installing that software, which was expensive, by the way, onto your PC, so it could go against all the different malware and different spam and whatever else. So he's done a lot in that regard, but and he's actually pushed cryptocurrency and digital assets into the public consciousness because he is a public figure. So I will tip my hat to him. I mean, great, thanks a lot for doing all those things. Now, when you come out like this and say, hey, thanks for getting in, suckers, but don't believe in what I say, because yeah, cryptocurrency is great, but Bitcoin's a piece of trash. So it leaves you to wonder, like, first of all, it leaves you to wonder, like, does he really believe what he says, or is this just another crazy John McAfee type of ruse? So I want to go over a little bit of history of John and what I have encountered throughout my little journey through cryptocurrency digital assets. First of all, never forget who you're dealing with. So John McAfee used to charge $100,000 to do a tweet for each type of random digital asset, cryptocurrency, whatever you want to call it, and ICOs. So he would charge money, a good fair amount of money, 100 grand, not too shabby, right? This is an article in The Independent. Talked about how cybersecurity pioneer John McAfee has revealed that he charges 105 grand for a single tweet about cryptocurrency. One tweet. And he goes on to quote, "I'm the only person in the crypto field that has openly divulged the outrageous amounts of money charged by crypto pioneers," McAfee tells The Independent. "It's embarrassingly huge, but it's true. I've been getting these fees for over 6 months. I decided to go public with it because I'm an advisor to many of these companies, and I know that I'm in the crosshairs of the SEC. This is going to be very important coming up. So it is in my interests to prove transparency." Notice what he says there. It's in my interests to prove transparency, only because the SEC is breathing down his throat, or his neck, I guess. So that is going to play dividends, or we're going to look into that a little bit more. And remember, always remember who you're dealing with. Let's look, take a look at the gems that this guy has promoted as time has gone on. John McAfee promotes Steven Seagal endorsed crypto scam coin. Sounds like a winner. John McAfee appears to move cryptocurrency markets with a single tweet. I'm going to go down here a little bit. Here's where he tweeted that a coin called SafeX constituted the majority of his holdings. Let's get this straight. He sent out a tweet on December 15th about Electronium, which, well, you know, whatever. This was in, I think this was 2017. And then he talks about, okay, Electronium is great. Then he said that a coin called SafeX constituted the majority of his holdings. Minutes after McAfee tweeted about SafeX, the price of SafeX spiked 92%, according to the site CoinMarketCap, where this article sources all of its different prices and whatnot. So it went from 0.014 to 0.02 to 0.03. And in this article, it goes over a lot of different coins that he essentially pumped. And then, I don't know if he dumped himself, but he got a lot of money just for saying, this is great. And then a lot of people would FOMO into that, and they would get screwed. Never forget who you're dealing with. All right. Also, let's talk about John McAfee's paid ICO promotions. If you were not around in 2017, it was an amazing year. Cryptocurrency, digital assets really got into the forefront of public consciousness. There was a lot of different things going on. The downside was there was a lot of scams, a lot of ICOs. And this is why I'm always harping on the fact that we need regulation. Will regulation stop all scams and all problems? No. But it's just like speed limits. People are still going to speed, but it sure as hell cuts down a lot on speed-related deaths and injuries. So let's bring it in. Anyhow, not to get off topic here, but the ICO craze. So this is same thing. What's more, McAfee told The Independent he's been getting these fees for over 6 months, something that was not previously disclosed in any of his many promotional tweets, as he's recently attempted to rebrand himself as an investment expert. So not only did he tweet about these things and just blatantly lie, but then he didn't actually say, oh, you know what, I'm getting also getting promoted or I'm also receiving monetary funds for this tweet, which I find incredibly dishonest, and I can't believe people get away with that shit. But apparently that's what happened. So this guy got to promote without disclosing a damn thing, and that's... So I'm just going to bring this up right now. These are my holdings. This is what I believe in. These are the types of things that I have invested my hard-earned money into. Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP. That's the bulk. We're looking also at Cardano, EOS, and Chainlink. And I have placed my bets on these assets for various reasons, but these are the ones that I personally hold. So if you hear me talking about these things and talking up, it's because I'm biased, because I have money in them, but I truly believe in them. I've done a lot of research, and that's just me being honest. All right. Also, in this little snippet here, he says he's recently attempted to rebrand himself as an investment expert. So he's not an expert. He's not a financial expert. Unfortunately, even people like myself are like, well, I believe, you know, he's a pretty smart guy. He did, you know, Norton Antivirus, that was pretty awesome. So maybe. But he's not a financial expert, and even I got suckered into it. And it's just the truth. So I will say one thing, he's great with security, and maybe that's why he likes Monero coin. He's talking about Monero constantly throughout the years. And he's actually, even when people were questioning him on Twitter about, well, if you don't like Bitcoin, what do you like? And some person said that, you know, XRP was the future, and he's like, nope. And they'd ask him about different things, and he'd like, nope, nope, nope. And but the one that he does like is Monero, which makes sense, because Monero, he's a security guy, so he can appreciate those types of things, that security feature, the privacy feature of Monero. So I get it. There's that, and I think there's a second reason of why he likes Monero. So let's check the Twitter feed right quick. So yeah, blah, 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 blah. So John McAfee, and he's talking, this guy just says, what's a good privacy coin? He says Monero and Pirate Coin, whatever the hell that is. I don't know what that is. But people will ask him throughout this whole feed, and you can go take a look at Real John McAfee or Official McAfee and look through the feed, and they'll just talk. He'll just blatantly say, hey, Monero's the best. He'll also talk about Ethereum because, you know, people are building on Ethereum and the smart contract, which I believe that makes sense. But the question that I have in my mind right now is, right now, McAfee's on the run. He's all over the place. He keeps, you know, popping up in weird places and talking about how people are trying to kill him and all this crazy shit. So the thing with McAfee, you have to look at who you're dealing with. So he's a smart guy. He's a promoter. He's a marketer. But if the SEC really is breathing down his neck, is it no surprise that he likes Monero? Because Monero has privacy in it? Wouldn't a guy who's on the run really appreciate the fact that Monero could be in his pocket? I think it could. So either he likes Monero because he's a security guy and he likes the privacy features, or maybe he needs this type of coin to fund his lifestyle. I don't know. And if you're not aware, he's also put a bid in to be president of the United States in 2020, which, who knows? Maybe he could do it. I have no idea. I don't think so, but whatever. So these are the types of things that we think about, but just remember, it's John McAfee. So that's how it is. And then lastly, what I just talked about, the SEC, he says that he won't promote any more ICOs because of SEC threats. And this is why I truly believe he likes Monero, because, you know, he needs these types of coins because he doesn't want to be tracked. Or maybe he's been paid a boatload of money by Monero, like the rest of the ICOs and all the coins that he shilled in the past. I have no idea. But, and he did a lot of things with a lot of shitty coins, or as I call them, shat coins. So this got me thinking, what would be considered a shat coin or a shit coin? I'm going to call them shat coins. So the definition of a shit coin is, a shit coin is any cryptocurrency that is disliked by the person talking about it. It could be any coin that is not Bitcoin, or a coin that lacks any new or advanced technology, or a coin that has become worthless after launch. Now, you guys know what my holdings are, and I will say this, I always go to the comments section. You know, a lot of people get heated when we're talking about Bitcoin and how awesome it is, or XRP, or how awesome it is. Really, that's about it. XRP and Bitcoin. Like, no one gets crazy over Ethereum. No one gets crazy over EOS. No one gets crazy over Chainlink. It just doesn't happen. It's always Bitcoin and it's always XRP. It's like you guys are always at each other's throats. And to me, I don't care who wins. I hope both go up. That'd be awesome because I hold both. But it's the same principle as if one goes up, the rest of them go up. When the water comes into the harbor, all the ships rise. So why can't we just be, you know, like, great, one of our brothers here, brothers or sisters in cryptocurrency, rose up. XRP went up. Great. Or Bitcoin went up. Or Ethereum went up. Fantastic. Who cares which one goes up or which one is the absolute ultimate best? It doesn't matter. All the things that matter is that we're all in this together and we're trying to make money and everything. And if we want to make money, then if one goes up, the other one pulls it up with them. So I just don't understand why everybody gets so bent out of effing shape about it. Anyhow, but if let's talk about shat coins, shall we? And this is all going to be in fun, so don't take this too much to heart if you're like an XRP maximalist or an Ethereum maximalist or whatever else. So I had to take a look. I want to take a look at what the definition, like to really drill down. So I took a look at Investopedia. And the definition is a shitcoin is a pejorative term used to describe an altcoin. First of all, I like how that sentence starts. It starts with shitcoin is a pejorative term used to describe. It's very proper. It's funny to me. An altcoin that has become worthless. Shitcoin value may disappear because interest failed to materialize because the altcoin itself was not created in good faith or because the price was based on speculation. And right now, everything's based on speculation. Let's just be honest. No one knows where anything's going to go. So, talks about shitcoins are often identified by a specific pattern that they follow. First, the coin launches. Price remains level. Then, bottoms the ground as investors pour in, or it grows, goes up as investors pours in, and then it just takes a nosedive. So that's what's called a pump and dump. You have a coin that's really not doing much, and all of a sudden it spikes, and everybody drops it like a bad habit, and then it dumps down on the ground. Those are the pump and dumps. And while developed by a company, altcoins are independent of the company's revenue and sales. And so some would say that everything besides Bitcoin is a shitcoin. Some will say that Bitcoin cannot be a shitcoin because it is Bitcoin, and by definition, all altcoins can only be these types of shitcoins. But we're going to take a look at that in a little bit. Anyhow, identifying potential shitcoins thus becomes an exercise in estimating whether an altcoin's price is driven by speculation, as the price of Tulip, or whether there is a viable underlying market for the altcoin. And then altcoins, developers typically announce the total number of tokens that will ultimately be made available. While the supply of Ether, let's back up. The supply of Bitcoin is capped at 21 million. So there is scarcity. Supply of Ether is capped at 18 million per year. Setting a supply limit creates scarcity. Without scarcity, they're saying that's mostly a shitcoin. In the last couple paragraphs here, while the supply of an altcoin fixed, its value should be dependent on demand. But since most cryptocurrencies have limited practical use, buying and selling real-world goods and services using cryptocurrencies is not common. Their values are based on pure speculation. A shitcoin is thus something that people say is valuable only because it exists and nothing else. So the question is, does it have utility? Adding to the confusion of whether an altcoin is actually valuable is that most information about altcoins is found on the internet, where it can be difficult to pin down whether the information is true or simply a bunch of BS. So to me, I kind of look at this like there's certain criteria for what are called shitcoins. And from now on, so I don't go into a huge hole for, because I've already cussed, I think, over my limit already. We're going to call them shatcoins. Shatcoins. And this is, again, all in fun. No big deal. We're going to take a look at Bitcoin to see if it is a shatcoin. So what does that mean? So there is a little chart I've created, 1 through 5, called the shadow meter. So if your coin, whatever that may be, does not have the findings that would be considered a shat coin, then on a 1 to 5, 1 would be considered not a shat. 2 is kind of moving into that area of like, is that really a shit? Did that really happen? Is that a shat type of coin? 3 is in the middle. It could be what's called a medium shat coin. Who knows if it's like total shat or if it's just kind of, you know, having a problem for that time. Once we get to the 4th level, that's a pure piece of shat. And lastly, is just pure shat. We know these types of coins are out there. Tomato coin. And these things that just really have no utility, no service. They're not decentralized. They are a pumps and dumps. So that's a pure shat. And so there is our spectrum. So here's the criteria we're going to look at. First of all, does it solve an actual real problem, or is it just something that some company made up just to say they're on the blockchain? Is it secure, meaning is it decentralized? Are people using it? Does it have actual utility? Is it scarce? Is it scalable? Are people improving it? Are there any pumps and dumps, and how long has it actually been in the top 100? So let's take a look at Bitcoin. And I think the biggest, not the biggest argument, but one of the arguments I hear from the Bitcoin maximalists, and look, again, I am invested heavily into Bitcoin. I hope it takes off. But you have to ask these questions. You have to. So the thing that I always hear about, well, it's a first mover, and it's the first once, and you know, so step aside and just shut up. That's not how it works. So just because you're a first mover doesn't mean you're automatically going to make it. I mean, does anybody remember Napster? That was awesome when it came out. I heard about that. I was like, what? I can download music for free and I just got to download this app? Get out of here. And you would just download this app on your computer and it would connect you to all the other computers and you could download their music, which kind of sounds like blockchain a little bit, but not really. But yeah, you could just go to all these other computers and just find any kind of MP3 that you want and download it for free. It was awesome. And then things got real because it's one of the, I think it was the Lars Ulrich or whatever his name was from Metallica. He started to sue everybody that, and all these internet companies got on board. They're like, oh yeah, if they downloaded Napster, you know, you can sue them. And it was a big thing. And then before you know it, Napster, no one uses Napster. Does that even exist anymore? Nobody uses that. Went away. And that was the first one. It was a great idea and it was free and it was awesome, but gone. So first mover advantage, I believe, is not a big type of thing. So to illustrate this point a little bit better, there's a great video from Data is Beautiful, and it takes a look at the most popular websites from 96 to 2019. And right now, we're gonna go on this pretty quick. I don't wanna go through the whole thing. This is for another time, but look at AOL. AOL was crushing it in 1996. And for all you younger folks out there, you may not remember this stuff. And actually all this stuff that you're looking at is like, what the heck is all this? This makes no sense. Never heard of this. What kind of witchery is going on? But watch this real quick. So as time goes on, AOL is really just kind of crushing it here, right? Everybody's going to AOL. And if you don't remember dial-up, you're not cool. No, if you don't remember dial-up, it just means that you're young. That's good for you. But you can see all these different things like Netscape and Lycos, Excite, and you know all this stuff. Now, AOL had a big lion's share for years and years. Now, we're looking at 96. Now we're going to 98. And things are just trying to catch up. These different websites, they're just trying to jockey, and they're laying the groundwork. There's this thing called eBay coming about, a little company called Amazon down here. They're just trying to, you know, lay the groundwork and see what's going on. Now Yahoo starts to come up, these mergers and acquisitions, and before you know it, it just starts to just crush everybody. And then AOL, which was number one, now starts to fade into oblivion because they didn't do the things that they were supposed to do, which was innovate, scale, and make things better. And that was kind of like Yahoo's focus. We're going to just do things better, and we're going to start to, you know, acquire all these different companies, and that's how we're going to do it. Even Google, look at Google down here, 2003, I might add, is just, you know, slowly chugging along. And Yahoo goes up there, and they're crushing it for years and years to come. Now all of a sudden Google makes a big push. Why does Google make a big push? Because all the track that it laid in all those years before, all those different also mergers and acquisitions, it's gonna pay off big time. And before you know it, Yahoo, which was number one, now becomes number two. AOL is still sliding down, and they can't really keep up because Google's a little bit more nimble, a little bit more younger, and they have a sole focus on what they wanna do, and off we go. So let's just fast forward all the way to today. What do we got in the top ones? Oh, let me back up. Looks way different, doesn't it? Google's at top. YouTube is number two. Facebook is number three. What happened to AOL? What happened to Yahoo? So just because you're number one doesn't mean you're going to stay number one. Just remember, you have to scale and you have to make improvements because technology moves fast. All right, let's move on. So to give a little context, what is a shat coin? The shattiest of all shat coins, I would say, is tomato coin. I always talk about tomato coin. I had no idea that it actually existed, but apparently it does. And it was available from it looks like from August 1st to September 12th, maybe a little bit longer, but its market cap was $14,760, and here was the price. And apparently it came up here, and then there was a, it looks like a big sell-off, and somebody made a couple grand, which isn't too bad in the grand scheme of scams, but this is what looks like a, you know, awful. You know, not decentralized, there's no utility, no one's putting pizzas on the blockchain for Tomato Coin. It's just totally worthless, right? So that's a pretty much a 5 out of 5 shatcoin. So let's take a look. So let's ask the first question. The first question is, does Bitcoin solve a real problem? All right, let's take a look. So Bitcoin, this is an article from Investopedia. Why do Bitcoins have value? Bitcoin offers an efficient means of transferring money over the internet and is controlled by a decentralized network with a transparent set of rules, thus presenting an alternative to central bank-controlled fiat money. That sounds pretty awesome, right? You can't censor that. People in Venezuela were, you know, hyperinflation and the banks just shut them out. Well, great, you can put your money into Bitcoin and use that as payments. So that sounds pretty good. Why currencies have value? Well, currency is usable if it is a store of value, or put differently, if it can reliably be counted on to maintain its relative value over time and with depreciating. So when I got into cryptocurrency digital assets, Bitcoin was touted as the next big payments system, essentially. You could use it to go, you know, buy anything, anything from a cup of coffee to a yacht or a Lambo. Well, as time went on, that narrative changed. First, it was like, yeah, we're going to do it for payments for all the world. And it was like, you know what? It's like gold. It's going to be a store of value. And now we look at the definition. Can reliably be counted on to maintain its relative value over time and without depreciating. So even though we talk about Bitcoin being a store of value, and it did a great job this last year, 2019, it went from 3,000 to 14,000, but there was a lot of bumps in and around all of those ups and downs. Right now it's about $7,300. So if you bought in at 10, 11, 12,000, hoping it would go up, you're eating it right now because you're like, damn, that went down to $7,300. So as a store of value first world, I don't see it's that awesome right now. It could go up. I sure hope it goes up, but who knows? I don't know. But looking at that whole store of value thing, I will say this, that again, if you're in a third world country and your banks are dealing with hyperinflation and you have nowhere to turn, then even if Bitcoin goes up or down $1,000, it's way better than losing everything when, you know, these banks hyperinflate and all your money's gone. So I can see that. That makes sense. Got it. All right, moving down, let's take a look at, this is scarcity, divisibility, utility, and transferability. Aside from the question of whether it is a store of value, a successful currency must also meet qualifications related to scarcity, divisibility, utility, and transferability. Let's look at these. So scarcity, boom. Bitcoin's great on scarcity, right? 21 million that's ever going to be created. Also, throughout all the years from 2009 to present, people have lost a boatload of Bitcoin because they've had it on hard drives back when it was just nerd money that no one knew about it. And they just would, mine it for like pennies. And then of course they would just lose their computers because, computers don't last. So the number is between like 2.5 million to like 5 million Bitcoin already lost. So if you're looking at scarcity, truly it is very scarce. Divisibility. Successful currencies are divisible into smaller incremental units. I'm not going to delve into this, but Bitcoin can be broken down into millions of Satoshis, so that it hits that. Utility. A currency must have utility in order to be effective. Individuals must be able to reliably trade units of the currency for goods and services. So I'm not going to jump on Bitcoin for this. I believe that you can use Bitcoin in certain situations, in certain areas, for a lot of different things. It's not a very fast transaction, but surely does happen, and people have been using Bitcoin to pay for goods and services for quite some time. Now, is it as good as my Visa or MasterCard here in the United States? No, not. But again, I don't think that's what Bitcoin is going for. It's going for a store of value. Then lastly, transferability. Can you transfer Bitcoin? This is where it shines, because you can transfer Bitcoin throughout the whole world. No big deals. It's not as awful as SWIFT. Have you ever tried to send money to like the Philippines or something crazy like that? It takes forever and it's expensive. And it if it gets there at all. So Bitcoin wins hands down. So me, for the second question was, does this solve a real problem? For the shadow meter, for the first world, I can't give it a one. I just can't give it an absolute one for the shadow meter. As far as not a shad, I'm going to say shads. I'm not too sure on that, but I can tell you it's bouncing between a one and two. First world. Now, third world, definitely. It solves a real problem right now, especially with the hyperinflation. So, sure. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Is it decentralized? This is a no-brainer. So this is the website Bitnodes. Takes a look at all the different Bitcoin nodes that are throughout the entire world. And it looks like we've got 11,106 nodes. So quite a boatload of them. And here's where they're all located. Looks like a lot. There's a boatload in Germany, France, Netherlands, Canada. Singapore, damn, 341. The US has 2,400. It's amazing. It's a lot. So decentralized, this is a no-shat. This is a no-shat brainer. It's definitely a one. What about, does it have utility? Are people actually using it? Well, this was a video we talked about yesterday, and it says that Bitcoin did $673 billion in on-chain transaction volume in 2019. Let's take a look how that breaks down. So here's the chart right here. In blue, which is this little line right here, which is pretty stable. These are the transactions in thousands. So on November 10th, you had almost 300,000 of Bitcoin transactions. 17th November, 264,000. So you had a lot of transactions going on. Now here's the thing. It talks about how Bitcoin is not used for payments. So when I think of transactions, I always think about, I want a thing. So here's money for that thing. That's a transaction. I want a donut. So how much is the donut? $1. Here's my debit card. They debit me. That's a transaction. Well, Bitcoin's not being used like that. So for me, I think transactions are people putting money into it, paying for it, or buying it on the exchanges, moving it between themselves, between different wallets. Those are transactions. So, all right. So for utility, we can say that, yeah, it's a no shat. What happened here? Whoop. It's a one. But I will make mention here that XRP, look at, that's in yellow. That's a lot. That's 4 million. So Bitcoin transactions, 306,000. XRP transactions, 4 million. This could be because, the XR or Ripple's partnership with MoneyGram, they're moving like $100 million into Mexico. In that sense, they started in April. So that's a lot of transactions. But Bitcoin's got a lot. Looks like Bitcoin SV's even got some, 300,000. Let's take a look here real quick. So on November 12th, Bitcoin SV had 242,000. Bitcoin had 300,000. It's pretty close. Dash. How about over here? It's all about the same. Bitcoin SV, 501,000. Bitcoin, 279,000. Oof, not looking good, Bitcoin. All right. And last up, is it scalable? Now, this is one of the biggest knocks I feel is on Bitcoin. Is it scalable? We've had Bitcoin since 2009. We've had different groups working on it. We're looking at SegWit, Lightning Network, all that stuff. And the question is, if you want to use it for payment, it's not going to happen right now, that's for sure. Because transfers per second, Visa does around 1,700. So right now, from Hacker News, in order to grow from 4.4 TPS, transactions per second of Bitcoin, to Visa's 1,736, Bitcoin would need to scale its TPS by 377x. That's a lot. So as far as scalability, and this has been the issue since I got in 2017, it's been 2 years. So I know they're doing a sidechain type of thing. I know they're doing SegWit and they're doing Lightning Network. Let's see if it pans out. So for the shadow meter, I'm gonna give it a 3, because I can't really say that it's doing great right now. Scalability, it's a medium shat. And I know people are working on it, but this is a long time for people to work on it and not to really have it where it's supposed to be. I mean, 2 years? Come on. So if we've added it all up, let's take a look if we miss anything. Does it solve a real problem? Yeah, definitely. Is it secure? Absolutely. Are people using it? Well, if you're looking at transactions, sure. Is it scarce? Oh, that's the biggest thing. It's totally scarce. Is it scalable? Might be scalable. People are improving it, but I still gave it a 3 because it's been so long. And then have there been any pumps and dumps? Depends on who you ask, right? Whales come in, they have a boatload of Bitcoin and they're manipulating. So on that one, it could bounce between 1 and 2, let's be honest. Because pumps and dumps, I mean, if you look at the traditional one, the traditional way that we define it, it starts off with pretty stable, then a bunch of investors come in, they pump it all the way up, people FOMO in, buy a bunch, and then they sell off, leaving people with the bags. You can make an argument for either way. So for that one, I gotta give it a two. It's a shat, question mark. And then of course, how long has it been in the top 100? Forever, so it's not a shat. So if we had to look at everything for the shadow meter, I'm gonna say that this is a solid 1.5, 1.7, as far as a shat coin. Now, this was all in fun. Listen, everybody, I wanted to rise up. I want Bitcoin to go up. I want all these things to go up, and I think they will. It's just gonna take time. And this was all fun. So I wanna say thanks for listening to the rants. I appreciate you staying till the end, and I will see you on the next one.